Newly released assessments from the U.S. Department of Energy and the FBI have found some degree of likelihood that the COVID-19 pandemic was the result of a leak from a Chinese lab. This is FBI Director Christopher Wray Tuesday speaking on Fox News.
The FBI has for quite some time now assessed that the origins of the pandemic are most likely a potential lab incident in Wuhan.
But hang on, four other U.S. intelligence agencies reportedly still think the evidence points to a natural start to the pandemic, while two others remain undecided on the source. Most assessments have a low degree of confidence. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How important do you think it is to find out how the pandemic got started? What questions or concerns do you have about the politics over the argument over how it got started? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Daniel Engber is senior editor at The Atlantic. Daniel, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
Now, you wrote a piece, "The Lab Leak Will Haunt Us Forever," is the headline. Can you explain what you mean by that?
What I mean by that, unfortunately, is that this is not something that's going to be resolved anytime soon. As you mentioned in your introduction, this intelligence assessment from eight different intelligence agencies plus the National Intelligence Council, I mean, this is, a year and a half after it was first conducted, and we're still in a state of very low confidence. So only one of those intelligence elements was willing to say something with, quote, moderate confidence. That was the FBI. But all the rest either said, we just have no idea, or we are making a low confidence judgment. So I think in light of that, and in light of the fact that, you know, no real substantive further studies of this question are being done, basically due to China's unwillingness to participate, I just think we're going to be in the state of uncertainty for the foreseeable future.
The Department of Energy statement, or actually not a statement, it was kind of leaked, in effect, their conclusion. The FBI statements have gotten a lot of attention with people saying, aha, lab leak. Can you talk about, though, who is saying and what they're saying about the natural transmission concept?
Right. So, yeah, sure. This leaked update to the Department of Energy's assessment that came out over the weekend, the Wall Street Journal had the scoop. So the Department of Energy originally is that we just don't know. We looked into it. We can't tell. There's not enough information here. They've since updated that for reasons that are unclear. That has not been leaked. We don't know what new intelligence there was or new reasoning was used, but they've now switched over to saying with low confidence that some kind of laboratory accident might have been responsible. I should just clarify again that all of these intelligence agencies agree that this was not a Chinese bioweapon.
Right.
The idea that's on the table is more that, you know, this is potentially an experiment that went wrong. This was a virus harvested from a bat cave that, you know, ended up infecting someone in the lab who then spread it to the community, something along those lines. Not a, you know, a biological weapon. In any case, you know, this is still, even though with the Department of Energy sort of changing its vote, as it were, to low confidence lab leak, there's still four agencies that say, no, this is, you know, probably the conventional story for pandemic pathogens. And even for the first SARS pandemic in 2003, this is something that spread in the wild from one animal to another to humans and then was spread, you know, likely from a marketplace. So that idea, if you just go by the numbers from this intelligence assessment, it's still, you know, five of these agencies said it's probably a market origin. And now two have gone the other direction. And you could just compare it. I mean, there's news, a similar kind of assessment was done of Havana syndrome, the idea that State Department employees were targeted by a Russian energy weapon. And so I'm bringing this up just because the news just came out yesterday, I think, that the assessment from the seven intelligence agencies came back, and one of them couldn't decide, and six of them said, this is definitely not a Russian energy weapon. So I'm just I think that's a useful contrast. I noticed it yesterday. Like, that's a case where the intelligence assessment is pretty uniform versus and pretty high confidence compared to this COVID origins thing, where it's just kind of like, most of them say it's probably the market, but a couple don't, and no one really knows.
Talking to Daniel Engber for The Atlantic, he wrote about the latest findings on the possible origins of the COVID-19 pandemic. Daniel, I think one thing everybody agrees on, at least everybody outside the borders of China, is China could do a lot more when it comes to transparency to help get to the bottom of these things. How much is that hindering assessments like this?
I mean, it's just hindering it enormously. I would say fatally hindering it. In order to resolve this stuff, so the incredible work has been done already. Mike Warraby and colleagues have published a series of papers making a very compelling case for this market origin. They've shown, at the very least, that the first major outbreak was at that market. Most of the early cases were either people who visited the market or who lived in the vicinity of the market. So, you know, that's generally agreed upon. We just don't know for absolute certain that the first infection was at that market or the beginning of the outbreak in Wuhan. So there has been really useful work that has advanced the story. It's not like no progress has been made. Evidence has mounted for the market origin, for example, and there have been drips and drabs of information about the kind of research that was happening at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which is thought to be one of the places that may have spawned a putative lab leak. On the other hand, to really get to the bottom of it, well, you'd want to have access to whatever testing was done on animals that were sold at the Huanan market in Wuhan. You'd want to have more complete audits of the various labs in Wuhan that were doing research on bat coronaviruses. There's a bunch of things you'd want to have. Now, the World Health Organization made a plan to follow up on its original formal inquiry into COVID origins and return to China and do some of this work. And this, you know, China has now refused. And so I understand that there are still some kind of attempted negotiations here, but it does not seem likely that this is going to happen anytime soon. The issue has become so politicized. You know, some Chinese scientists point the finger in the other direction and say, oh, well, maybe this is came from frozen foods, frozen fish that originated in the West. So at this point, on the international scale, it has become such a political hot potato that it just seems very unlikely that this kind of research that would be helpful is going to be done anytime soon.
And you write that whichever side people lean to, there's a big coincidence that they say has to be explained away. If you like the, you know, the natural transmission, people could say, well, wait, this Wuhan lab just happened to be researching similar stuff. If you go for lab leak, wait, this market just happened to have all these animals where the first transmissions happened. How big a deal is the coincidence that's going to be there, whichever answer ends up being right?
I mean, I really think it comes down to people's inclinations on what to believe are really, I found in my reporting and even just conversations with friends and family about this, it's just what sort of coincidence are you drawn to? For some people, you just can't get past the fact that here's this lab with this, you know, this researcher who's known for studying these bat coronaviruses, who's known for studying the very type of a pathogen that led to this outbreak. And lo and behold, of all the cities in the world for this thing to break out, it's, you know, some miles from that lab. How could that be a coincidence? And then on the other hand, this market, as you said, this is a place that was known to have been selling wild animals as recently as 2019. This is a place where people who have visited it in, you know, the recent pre-pandemic past had the thought, this is the kind of place where a pandemic could start. This is exactly the way in which the first SARS pandemic is thought to have started. What are the odds if this really came from a, you know, research lab? What are the odds that things would play out so that it would look so much like the first SARS pandemic, or it would look so much like what you would expect from a natural what they call zoonotic transmission from an animal, you know, outside of a lab. So I, you know, those are sort of unresolvable. I don't want to pretend that those are that one can't have a reasonable discussion of the evidence on both sides. I mean, certainly you could add in the fact that almost every pandemic we know of started the same way, not from a lab leak. So even if you just applied that as your, you know, your first filter, well, let's go with what you would most expect based on history, known history, right? If you have these two coincidences, that would push you towards the one that fits with everything you would have expected prior to, you know, 2020. By identifying the two coincidences, I don't mean to say that they're necessarily on equal footing mm-hmm. as a matter of, like, which is more likely. But I do think it's, you know, the human mind is drawn to this kind of reasoning. And whichever thing turns out to be the truth, there is still one mega coincidence that we just have to make peace with.
Daniel, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Daniel Engber is a senior editor at The Atlantic. He joined us with the latest look at what we know about the origins of COVID-19. Up next, we'll talk to UW-Madison professor of pathology and lab medicine about what we still have to learn, what we may never know, how we track the progress of viruses like this in the first place. You can join in with your questions for our guest at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about COVID-19, its origins, and dueling national intelligence assessments as to whether it came from natural transmission from an animal or from some kind of mistake at a lab in China. You can join in as we talk to a UW researcher who's been following the disease from the early days. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Dave O'Connor is a UW Medical Foundation professor of pathology and laboratory medicine at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dave, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Can you talk about some of the challenges of trying to figure out where a disease like COVID-19 started?
Daniel did an outstanding job in summarizing this in the previous segment, but I think I would just add to it that you're operating in a fog of war very early on in a pandemic. There's not complete information. And as he mentioned, we probably will never get complete information out of China. That makes it very difficult to draw firm conclusions. I think that scientists are swayed by data, and we have more data in favor of the natural origin in the market. Whereas the lab leak has some information in favor of it, but it's largely circumstantial and a lot of the information seems to be classified. So it's harder to assess because we just don't know as much about it.
Is this an important question to answer in your mind?
Well, I think it's important because we have to learn from history and we have to learn from our mistakes and we have to be better prepared next time. And if we don't try to get a firm understanding of what happened at the source this time, we'll be poorly prepared next time.
When it comes to labs, even if it turns out this wasn't a lab leak incident, are there things you'd hope we could look at and say, okay, well, in future, we don't want that to happen. Here are things we could do to even heighten our already high levels of caution at places that research potentially dangerous diseases?
I think the possibility that the lab leak is still a possibility at this stage means that as scientists, we need to do some self-reflection. We need to ask what research that's done in the name of pandemic preparedness itself carries risk and what sort of regulations need to be in place to minimize that risk. As David Wallace Wells noted in the New York Times this week, there's still a shockingly low level of coordinated regulation around the world on research that brings in bats or monkeys and tries to understand the viruses that infect them. And without that kind of regulation, it's difficult to know all the work that's being done. And there are some holes in those regulations, like they apply only to federally funded research that could reasonably be closed to make the work that does get done safer and more transparent.
Now, early in the COVID pandemic, you and some of your colleagues, I believe, were doing genetic research to track strains of the disease as they emerged and to see where they're spreading and how. I mean, can we do a genetic family tree and hopefully trace back the origin of a disease like this?
Well, and that's exactly what we have for the market origin. If this were CSI Wuhan, we have a pattern in that previous outbreaks started the same way. We have crime scene photos and that we have mammals in the market that could have housed the virus. And we have the DNA evidence. We have SARS-CoV-2 genetic material from environmental swabs that were taken at the market. That's why a lot of scientists believe that the natural origin is the most likely, is because we have exactly that kind of data from the market. And we have an enigmatic research program in a nearby lab where there might well be data, but it's not publicly available. Scientists can't scrutinize it. And I would hope that eventually that data will become more widely available so that the quality of the evidence could be compared and weighed against the quality of the natural origin evidence.
Talking to Dave O'Connor, professor of pathology and laboratory medicine at UW's School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at the difficult search for the ultimate origin of COVID-19, the virus that causes it. Let's bring on a caller. Nate is with us in Milwaukee. Nate, hello.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me. And I'll point out two things quickly relating to China. There's a sad point in their propaganda, because not only were they blaming frozen food at one point, but they also decided to blame a military base in Maryland as the supposed origin of COVID at one point. And I'm pretty sure the spread of COVID is not traced from there, even inside the U.S. But the sad point I was going to get to is there was a doctor by the name of Li Wenliang, I'm probably saying that wrong, who actually discovered COVID early on when he was treating patients for it, and he died, but he had been told by the police officials in that province to basically keep his mouth shut when he tried raising an alarm about it. And there are two articles in the BBC about this. The doctor who died was in a 2020 article called Coronavirus Kills Chinese Whistleblower Doctor.
Nate, thanks a lot for the call. I want to jump in and bring our guest in on that. Nate pointing toward some efforts of the Chinese government that may have obfuscated our ability to track the early days of the spread of COVID.
Well, this is one of the great unknowns about the lab leak theory. And it's an unknown that, coming from Wisconsin, I don't have any particular insight into. But if you do believe in a lab leak theory, you also have to have some blind faith that accompanies many conspiracies, that you have this massive number of people who would have had to have known and who would have had to have remained silent in order for the conspiracy to hold up and for it not to have had a whistleblower leak it. And that's a little bit hard to imagine given the scope, but in an authoritarian government, it has happened before. There was a smallpox outbreak in what's now Kazakhstan in 1971 that was only discovered decades later. So the idea that you could have this kind of large conspiracy that could hold up for years has precedent. And I think if you buy into the idea that there could be a conspiracy that is trying to obfuscate a lab origin, you have to entertain other possibilities. And maybe I just read too much Tom Clancy and Mark Greene, but you could imagine something like a lab leak could also be, people who are involved in that. Maybe you plant evidence at a market. I'm not saying that that happens, but once you start considering a conspiracy, you have to be open-minded to the different ways in which that could have manifested itself. And unfortunately, the problem with all of that conspiratorial thinking is there's just no publicly available evidence that we can use to assess its veracity, to assess how the strength of the evidence compares to what we know about the market.
Thanks a lot for that call, Nate. Dave, I'm a layperson. I'm not a scientist. I have no inside knowledge. A couple years ago, if you asked me about the likely origin, my guess would be likely natural transmission, but you can't rule out the lab leak completely. And if you asked me that question today, I think I'd give roughly the same answer. I don't know. Is that about right?
Yeah, I think that that's exactly right. I think we still need more evidence. And I think that there are a lot of scientists, myself included, who are open-minded. I think it's important to restate something that Daniel said at the beginning of the half hour, which is that there is no evidence that this was man-made, that in some way, shape, or form, this virus jumped from animals to people, but from exactly which animals to exactly which people first is still something that we need to figure out and need more information in order to draw firmer conclusions about.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Dave, as I recall, Chinese scientists initially did share a genetic workup of some of the early strains of the virus that causes COVID-19. That's part of what gave a head start to vaccine efforts in the United States. So that kind of cooperation is at least hypothetically possible. Would you hope that the Chinese scientific community would be allowed to open up and cooperate with the rest of the world?
Oh, absolutely. But I think even at the time, the Chinese scientists who did that, that was somewhat controversial within China. And I think that what you're hitting on is the fact that there's always going to be some thumbs on the scale of science. And that's something that we need to work on, not just as scientists, but as part of a global community, because these sorts of viruses are going to emerge in the future. They're going to emerge from different parts of the world in the future. And we have to make sure that we try not to blame the places where the first cases are identified, because that's going to be, frankly, counterproductive. All it's going to do is make countries not want to share this data, when in fact, we need as much transparency as possible.
Dave, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Dave O'Connor, UW Medical Foundation Professor of Pathology and Laboratory Medicine at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us for a look at what we know and don't know about the start of COVID-19.